Welcome all sports fans. On this podcast,
no sport is left behind.
I'm Justin Williams.
I'm Cabrera Duran, and this is our brother from Down Under,
me, Wallace Bruce.
We are the Pro Sports Podcasters,
filling you in on the latest news from the world of sports.
This episode of the Pro Sports Podcasters is all about the world of basketball, both here in North America and in Europe. It begins with an interview with NBA All-Star Ricky Pierce, and then me and Justin go on to talk about the key moves made just before the trade deadline in the NBA. Let's get right into it.
Thanks for joining us on Pro Sports Podcasters. It's your guy, NWB. We appreciate your support as always. And today I'm joined by Justin Williams. How you doing, Justin?
Living the dream. And yourself?
Not too bad. I'm better because we have a very special guest. We have a gentleman who is from the NBA. He was an All-Star in 1991, and he won the Sixth Man of the Year award in 1987 and 1990. But he wasn't just a basketballer. I put it to you, this guy is actually an inventor. He created his own basketball. How many ballers have been able to do that? Not many, if any. Ladies and gentlemen, I introduce to you Mr. Ricky Pierce. Ricky, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. My pleasure to be on with you guys.
It's a pleasure to have you on. Sir, I was reading about your basketball and its intricates and its everything about it, its intricacies and how it works. Can you explain to us what the concept of this was? I read that you were at your son's basketball game and then were inspired by this, but tell us more.
Yeah, well, the basketball, I designed it more of a training ball in its also an all-purpose ball. It's have these 10 patent indented ovals on the basketball for fingertip placement pads on it. The fingertip pad placements, okay? So at the top of your shot, at the release, it's going to allow for backspin. Mm-hmm. And it's manufactured by Spalding, and the quality is fantastic. They really love it. And I also... it's also good for coaches to help players develop more accuracy, consistency, and muscle memory. And, you know, with the league now, all across the league, college, pros, high school, the emphasis is on shooting and scoring the basketball.
Yes.
Especially now. So, And, you know, it fits right in with where the league is going right now.
You predicted it.
Yes, sir.
If anything, you're the reason why there's going to be a four-point line. Kids going to get too good at threes.
That's right. And, you know, a lot of parents was approaching me at my son's game with questions. Can you help my son? What is wrong with his shot? You know, different questions and wanting me to see if I can help him out. And so that's the conclusion I came to with those young players shooting. They were shot putting the ball out of the palm of their hands. So that's why I said, let me try something here. So then I put the ovals on the ball.
That's awesome. That's a great innovation. And yeah, like Justin said, it's kind of ahead of the curve. It's almost like you saw it coming with the way the game is today. How do you feel about the way today's NBA is with shooting and the emphasis on three-point shooting especially?
The pace, they picked the pace up. And I think the NBA, they wanted more scoring. I think maybe the fans was suggesting a little bit more scoring. They wanted to see more. I watch it a lot. It's different from when I was playing. It was more physical, half-court basketball. You know, a little, you could grab a little bit more and hold a little bit. But now you can't even touch. I kind of like that as an offensive player. I mean, I would love playing in that system. So, you know, it's those guys' time. You know, so do your thing.
I was going to say, with the invention of your ball and how modern basketball is being played today, do you feel as if the sport itself is going to have another change in gears? And if so, what do you feel like that change in gear will be?
Well, eventually, it's going to change. It always does. So, I mean, I couldn't tell you the changes they're going to make. But I think with the flopping, you know, I think guys have gotten a little carried away with that. I think they're going to address that probably for sure. But I think they like the pace of it. I think they like that fast pace because the ratings are high, you know, even with this COVID thing going on. they still getting great ratings, and the owners making money, the players making money, so something have to be going well.
Yeah, and you talk about flopping. Like, I think about the era that you played in when you went as a shooting guard, small forward. When you went into the paint, you're going to get touched. You're going to get hit. And nowadays, some players use that as an opportunity to, you know, throw their head back and take an advantage. How would you like to see that dealt with? Would you like to see maybe a foul or some sort of penalty on the players to deter them from flopping?
You know, they kind of created a monster on that, you know, with that no touching, right? And I see guys throwing their head back. You see it all through high school. You have to be more now of an actor playing basketball, the way I look at it. So I guess the official's really going to have to keep a close eye on that. And how do you train the official for that? How do you do that? I don't know. I guess guys just taking advantage of the rule. That's the way I see it. They taking advantage of it. So, I mean, I just love the game. So that's up to the officials and the NBA on how they handle that. If it was my decision, I like back when I was playing, you know, where you really have to man up and stand up, right? To hang in there and make it happen.
Yeah.
Now, another question I have for you. You had played in the era of Jordan. What was it like to step on the court against him?
Well, back then, like I was saying, we talked about earlier, a guy like Michael, you have to go out there and play ball. You know, he was a rough player. I mean, he came up in that era. As you remember, recall that when he was getting beat up by Detroit,
yeah,
he told the whole world, I have to go lift weights. These guys are hitting hard under here, and the officials were letting it go. And, you know, but Michael was a fantastic basketball player. I mean, all those guys, fantastic. You just, like I was saying, you just have to man up and go out and play.
Yeah. And I know you were drafted by the Pistons early on in Detroit, but you did spend a lot of time in Milwaukee and also in Seattle. Now, Seattle interests me because nowadays they don't have a franchise. You feel like Seattle should get basketball back in their city?
Of course. I mean, great city, great fans. I mean, it's just a great city for basketball. You know, and I believe they will get one. There's a lot of players advocating to get a team back, and I think eventually they will, especially if they can get someone to put some money up for a facility. I think that was the main thing that they was considering, who going to put some money up to build that facility.
Right.
So I should rephrase that, because I just realized that Seattle does have the Storm of the WNBA. They're very successful, but I'm referring to the Supersonics in the NBA.
Right. Well, I think they will eventually.
All right. Now, sir, you had also played over in Europe for a brief time. What is the difference between North American basketball in your day and then the European style back then?
I tell you what really impressed me, the speed, the size, and the shooting ability.
Mm.
They had 7-footers. Shooting threes with accuracy and consistency. I mean, I don't even think they missed a shot sometime. I mean, they were just constantly draining shots. They played a great brand of basketball, and the work ethics was phenomenal. Those guys, I mean, they worked hard every day at practice. Compared to over here, you know, we've been doing it a while, and I don't think we appreciate it and understand it the way we should.
Mm.
It's a great game, and I think we should really appreciate it a lot more.
Now, just staying with that thought, do you feel like the introduction of some of these European young bucks, pardon the pun, like Giannis and other European stars like Doncic and Jokic, you feel that that's helping to introduce North America to the style of the European game? And how do you think that's going to affect international basketball?
Every game, they talking about the Euro step. That's all they talking about, that Euro step. The guy making a great move, the Euro step. I mean, it's known. I mean, they know it. And the Europeans, I think they have players over there that don't want to leave, I believe. They want to stay there. Mm. I mean, they love their league. I mean, to pull those guys out of Europe to come here, I think it takes a lot of convincing.
And yeah, I guess that reminds you of Tony Kukoc, for example. I know He stayed in Europe for a few years before he went over to Chicago in the end. And yeah, I get it. Would you have enjoyed it, Ricky, if playing with the Bucks? Let's say if Michael Jordan rang you up and said, hey, come and join me at the Bulls. How do you feel about this concept of super teams and players teaming up? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that is kind of weird. I mean, back in the day, you know, you stayed with your team and you challenged, say, the Bulls, the Knicks, right? Say they beat you and you know, it was more competitive. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to beat that guy. You know what I'm saying? We wanted to dethrone them.
Yeah.
But now, you know, a lot of these guys today, they friends. You know, they're doing a lot of things together over the summer. And they just have changed. You know, they say, well, hey, we friends. We buddies. Let's play together. You know, let's, you know, all three, four of us get together and win multiple championships. I mean, it just, it's changed, okay? I mean, and if that's what they're doing, that's what they're doing is being allowed. So the guy just taking advantage and utilizing the rules, I guess.
Right.
Well, I was going to say, now with COVID kind of modifying everything that's happening with NBA, what do you feel about this play-in system they have now?
I think the guys, they sort of got adjusted, you know, without the fans. I think they're letting a few fans in now. And that just go to show the guys want to play. I mean, they love playing, although they're taking chances with this COVID stuff. I just hope they abide by the rules, stay safe, and really have concerns about not only just themselves, but their family and other people as well. I mean, because it's sort of dangerous here right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. Right. But let's say you finished 8th or 9th when you were playing, how would you feel about having to play an extra game just to get in?
I'd play it to get in. I mean, if that get me in, I would play that extra game. I mean, because, you know, as a player, it's competitiveness. You know, you train all your life for this. It's a part of your passion. This is what you want to be doing. And that's why you're working so hard, is to compete with the possibility of winning the championship. So that's the reason I would want to play. I would want to be in it. I wouldn't want to be left out.
Ah, I like it. I like it. Now, just to switch gears ever so slightly, while you were playing, obviously you got to go around to different cities. And which city has the best cuisine?
Which city? I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm from Texas, you understand? So I would say I really enjoyed Seattle, New York, L.A. When I was playing with Milwaukee, you know, we go to those states and we like to go out and try to eat. I mean, it was pretty good getting out.
All right. Now, if you're ever in Toronto or Canada, have you ever had a poutine?
No, I haven't. What is that?
Oh. Oh. It's a Canadian dish, and essentially what it is, it's fries, gravy, and cheese curds. That's like a very basic form. You can add modifications to it. Some people add pulled pork, some add chicken. It's a really nice, I don't want to call it dish, but I guess dish is the best word to describe it. So it's something simple. You can make it at home. It's budget friendly, and it's delicious.
Oh, man. I have to try it. You need to shoot me that recipe.
Oh, I will add you on Instagram, Twitter, whatever you have. I will send you multiple recipes.
Oh, it's heaven on a plate.
And he's Australian, so he knows what he's talking about.
Oh, okay. Okay, I gotcha.
Tell you what, if you ever come to Canada, I'll buy you one too.
You'll give me one?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, we'll get you one. I'll get you one as well. We'll get you a couple. Don't you worry. Now, the basketball that you helped develop is called the AccuShot 22, if I'm not mistaken. Can we get that in Canada?
Sure, you can get it in Canada. The only thing you have to do to go to accushot22.com. That's accushot22.com.
All right. Look forward to getting myself one of those bowls. Yes, sir.
Well, I think it would help my game at 27?
At 27, sure, it'll help your game.
All right. I'll make it to the Euro Leagues now just for you.
Now, Ricky, just thinking about the Bucks of today, Giannis has signed an extension, so it seems like he's going to be there for the foreseeable future. Can they do it this year? Is this the year when the Bucks win the title?
Well, they just picked up a guy from Houston, right? I think he's a pretty strong defender. He undersized. I don't know. I would like to see him do it, though, because my heart's still in Milwaukee. You know, I played there so long. I would love to see him do it. I don't know. They're going to have to get some good guard play. You know, Giannis, he's going to do his thing. He's going to play the defense, block the shots. He's going to do his scoring. But, you know, they're going to set the defense for him. So someone's going to have to really pick up the slack, you know what I'm saying, to take some of that pressure off of him.
Yeah, because one thing I noticed, especially when they played the Raptors in 2019, was Giannis was doing his thing, as you said, but Nick Nurse, the coach of the Raptors, he just was able to adjust to what Coach Budenholzer had in store for them. And I felt like, this is just my observation, that Budenholzer wasn't able to respond to that. Do you feel like Coach Budenholzer is the guy to take the Bucks to the next step?
Well, I don't know. But I do know that the Raptors have a great team. They had great players that knew how to play the game the right way. And so when Giannis would make that spin move, he understood that coach. And so he would have some guy sitting right there. As soon as he spinned back, that defender was waiting. You know, and Giannis sort of got out of control a little bit. And, you know, the guy's a good coach. I think he'd need another piece, like I was saying, at that guard position. He needs somebody at that guard position to take control. And with Giannis playing that point forward position, I think he's playing really right into the opponent's hand when he's playing point forward.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Well, I mean, at the trade deadline, the Bucks could have gotten another point guard. They could have got Kyle Lowry if they probably offered enough money. But as we know, he stayed put in Toronto. But my next question is, and this is regarding essentially almost like the playoff style. Do you feel like a team can tank nobly? Like, let's say they're on the cusp of making it to the playoffs. Do you think it'd be in their interest to tank? And if so, to tank with honor? Like kind of Philadelphia did, but they did it without honor.
You say tank? What you mean tank?
So throw the games and force a loss so you can get higher pick in the lottery.
Well, if they're doing that, I think they should get rid of the whole organization, who behind all of that, because you have to go out and be competitive. I mean, all that tanking and stuff, I mean, go out and play, perform, play to win, forget the tanking, forget the pickup in the lottery. You know, we just don't, it's just nowhere in the league for that. And I don't think the league is advocating. If they knew teams doing that, I'm telling you, they would be in a world of trouble.
Well, most famously, it was with Philadelphia and this thing called Trust the Process, where they essentially tanked without officially tanking to get Joel Embiid in the draft. And obviously, and Ben Simmons, and they did that.
Yeah, we'll see. That ain't right.
It's not.
Yep. Now, Ricky, as I said at the top, you won the Sixth Man of the Year award. No, once but twice. What was that like?
Well, just going at it. You know, I wasn't playing ball thinking that, okay, I want to win the Sixth Man Award, and I didn't plan it like that. You know, I just was going out competing, playing as hard as I could play, and let the chips fall where they may. But to win any award with all the great players in the league is a great accomplishment. So you take it, and you be happy with it, and say, well done. You know, get ready for the following season and go at it even harder. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Ricky, who would you say is the toughest person you had to play against when you were on the court?
Aside from Michael Jordan?
Just in general. I mean,
for defense, offense, that's a great player. Most of the guys are pretty good. You know what I'm saying? But when you go up against scores and you have to guard a Reggie Miller and Michael and guys that really, you know, they looking to get the ball to score points, you know, you have to be on top of your game defensively. So you just try to limit their touches. I mean, there was a lot of guys offensively that was tough, but you just go back at them on the other end. You know what I'm saying? Right. I mean, and at some point, you just used to it. I mean, so you look at every opponent the same way as it's going to be a tough matchup tonight because all the guys was good. When you go out there, trust me, and you think you have an easy opponent, that easy opponent going to take you fast, I'm telling you. Those guys can play. I mean, especially if they one of the high volume scores, even if it's not a high volume score, he could be averaging 15 points, right? And is that a high volume score? Okay, say no. But if you go out there taking for granted, he might get that 25, which would make him that high volume score that night.
Right.
When I was a younger player, I think George Gervin, you know, when I was still learning how to play, you know, of course, Iceman, he was scoring on everybody. And I think he was the most difficult guy to guard for me because the guy never missed, you know. I mean, you could get 35 on him, but on that other end, you know, he just gonna make it look easy.
I agree. Now, speaking of things looking easy, you put your work in with Rice University, and as a reward, they retired your jersey. That's one of six that have been retired. Walk us through that. Did you get a phone call? Did you get a letter? How did you know they were going to retire it?
Well, I think I got a phone call somebody was telling me about. It's been so many years ago that they told me they were going to do that. I mean, it was a great accomplishment for me. You know, faculty, great people, had a great group of teammates. And for them to do that, I mean, it's a great honor for me for them to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to have a jersey I wore to be retired just in the rafters. Just, one of the greats.
Oh, you probably got jerseys retired everywhere. You just saying that.
I'm sure there's comedy holes where his jersey's hanging.
Because I don't know if you know this, but I was a touring stand-up comedian before COVID hit.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, sir. And Texas has been on my radar to hit up for a while. I've done Atlanta. I've done LA. I did Chicago. I've done Germany. Obviously, all parts of Canada. But Texas is one that's been eluding me for a while. But I need to go.
Yeah. I bet you that's a tough business, though.
Oh, it's a really hard business, especially with, forgive me, the snowflake generation, people like millennials who are very sensitive about things.
Yeah.
You know, you tell a joke and somebody is going to get offended by it, but it's how much do you care? Like, let me give you an example real quick. I have a joke about me adopting a kid, but as opposed to adopting it, I call it slightly used. Mm-hmm. One girl stood up and she was just crying. And she's like, you know, my friend was adopted and then returned. Can you make that funny? And this is at a comedy club, right? Like, just shut it down. And I was like, oh my God, all right. Well, yeah, I can make it funny. And then I was like, look, I'm sorry your friend was adopted and then returned. That should never happen. But next time she'll pick an adoption agency that doesn't have a satisfaction guarantee policy. Right.
Yeah.
So that just goes how it shows. Like, some people would enjoy darker humor like that or more aggressive humor versus I said that joke to somebody and they're like, oh, you're more of a dick now than ever. And I'm like, well, like, don't heckle me when I'm doing my job. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but I would love to have you come out to a show whenever I go to Texas.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, Ricky, just before we get you out of here, just a quick reminder for our listeners. Ricky developed and helped put together the AccuShot 22 basketball. So it can be found at AccuShot22.com. Now, Ricky, we have listeners from around the world, from Australia, Malaysia, India. Does the ball ship?
Yes, and also an autographed basketball card come with it, too.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You heard it here first, listeners, on Pro Sports Podcasters. If you go get a ball from Ricky Pierce at AccuShot 22, he'll hook you up with a card. What more do you want?
And you can also go to Ricky Charles Pierce Facebook. Make sure you send me that recipe, too.
Oh, we will. Ricky, we appreciate your time today. Do you have any words you want to share with our listeners?
But make sure you go to AccuShot22.com and get you a ball. And I guarantee you, man, your game, you'll be shooting like Dodgers, you know, that quick release. Yes, sir.
You heard it right from the Deuces himself, Ricky Pierce, 2-time Sixth Man of the Year, NBA All-Star, and newfound friend of the Pro Sports Podcasters.
Thank you so much.
All right, my pleasure.
For those of you on Facebook, don't forget to check out our Pro Sports Podcasters page, as well as the Pro Sports Podcasters group if you're interested in finding out up-to-date information on our most recent podcast, plus additional information you can ask us directly using Facebook as the medium. Also, if you'd like to sign up for our newsletter, you can do so from our website. You can find it in our show notes for every single podcast we offer. It's the very first link in the show notes. Don't forget to sign up because you'll qualify for both special events and giveaways. Back to the show.
So as we understand, Kawhi Leonard had been on record last season saying that if he had a better shooting guard, the Clippers would have done better. I mean, Lou Williams is Lou Williams. He's all right. He's averaging, if I had to take a guess, 15 points a game, maybe, on average. And sometimes he peaks at 30, and sometimes he drops as low as like 4. So they wanted a consistent player, and they got that with Rondo. They took from the Hawks. And I was like, all right, cool. And I think the Trailblazers also got a 2023 second-round pick. And the Clippers took a 2027 second-round pick and cash. So I don't know if that really means. I was like, all right, cool. The Raptors are strategically tanking. I don't care what you want to call it. That's what they're doing. You get rid of Norm Powell, who arguably was your top three player on the team, because I don't know where Siakam went after that rant. I need to rant about him again. Van Vliet was out for that bogus suspension.
So, talk me through that suspension, because I didn't watch the game. What happened? How did he get suspended?
It was Toronto versus Lakers. Obviously, Toronto was not going to win that game. But there was some discussion on the bench, some heat happened, and some people were pushing and shoving. I don't think that Van Vliet was necessarily pushing or shoving. I think he was just kind of in the middle of it, and he still got a suspension. Like, it was so bogus that Van Vliet retweeted it on Twitter with just LOL as the caption. And that was it. He's like, suspended and fined or something. He's like, lol. That was whatever. Like, it just seems like anything that could happen to the Raptors this season has happened. From COVID to bogus calls in-game to calls after games to being fined to tensions between coach and players. Like, the Raptors are just...
Don't forget the calls before the game.
The calls before the game, just everything. Just, I'm surprised they have cell phone service with the amount of calls being. Anyways,
maybe they're not on the Freedom Network. Anyway, now, why is it a bad thing if the Raptors miss the playoffs?
Oh, it's not bad. I want them to tank, but they're doing it in such a proper way. They're doing it professionally, which is they're essentially benching Siakam, Van Vliet, everyone that they need to, but they're bringing up the younger people, and they're like, here, get experience. This is the NBA. We literally don't expect much from you. You're like a kindergarten walking in the first day. If you can pick up a pen and color in the lines, you have a spot in our team. Just shoot it. Hopefully you get it in.
That's interesting. I feel like the trade deadline was very much what was expected after our chat with friend of the show, Eric Pincus, the salary cap man, the salary man. He
knew it all.
He had it in the tea leaves already, well before the deadline. He was saying that it was a constricted season for a lot of teams because of the hard cap, and because of that, it was going to be hard for teams to make those big, big deals that we've seen in the past, and draft picks would be at a premium.
Yes.
So the teams that maybe we wanted to see make moves, such as the Lakers and the Clippers, they're limited. They went to the buyout market. So the Lakers went and got Andre Drummond.
Mm-hmm.
The Clippers, as you mentioned, now they have Rajon Rondo. I feel like this is very much, if you're a contending team, that's how you got around it. And if you're not a contending team, don't worry about it, because you're playing in a season where there's not a full range of fans in the stands, so the revenue is impacted.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to experiment and hit the bottom, you might as well do it this season, like, and then hope that things get better in the future, much like the San Francisco 49ers of 2 or 3 years ago. They had a lot of injuries. They just said, okay, we're going to take the L. We're going to be picking high in the draft, and we don't expect to be back here for a while, so let's make the most of it. I feel like that is where a team like the Raptors are at the moment. The Raptors are not rebuilding, but because they've got some great young players such as Rodney Hood, Gary Trent Jr., Malachi Flynn, who they drafted, but mm-hmm. they need to...
They're fine-tuning, if anything.
They're also the only team in the league that doesn't play in their own arena at the moment. That should not be forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
A season-long road team, so the revenue's already been impacted there.
Yeah.
They need to just play the season out. they might be in the frame for the play-in spots. But whether they make the play-in or whether they get into the lottery, they just need to play the season out and let's see what happens in the draft. Now, what are your thoughts on the play-in games?
I don't care for them. It's like when they did in the NHL. It's a thing, sure. I just don't want it. I don't care for it. I don't think it's the best thing to do. I'm not like an old person in the sense where like it should be done this way. It's like, no, I'm all up for change. But at the same time, like, who are you trying to impress? Like, this would be great. Like, what they should do for the play-in, have it when fans come back. Give them an extra oomph. It's like, it's been a while. And I don't know if they're trying to have the play-in games as a thing to kind of keep some fans watching. But at the same time, it's like, it does nothing for me. It's like, oh, it's a little round robin. I'm going to watch a team struggling to get into the playoffs, get in the playoffs, and then get stomped first round. Why? Why am I going to do this to myself?
My hypothesis is that because we're in a reduced season, there is, we lost 5 or 6 games. This is a way to catch up ratings. So you catch it up with a few extra playing games. You get 2 or 3 extra fan bases on side who otherwise would not have been interested in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They're in the playoff before the playoff. And everyone's happy. And I hope they do this once, and I hope they never do it again.
JJ Redick to Mavericks. What do you think of that? JJ Redick. Yeah. Redick. Sorry. JJ Redick. I was joking with my buddy today about it, and I was like, he should legally change his last name to Redick, and it just slipped out. My bad.
We could float that to him and see if he likes the idea. Dallas are a bit funky because they've lost some games where you think, yeah, that's a Dallas win. I chalked it as a W for them, and then they go out and lose. They're a bit erratic, but at the same time, between this portion of the season and the playoffs, you get that. You get that where teams are, I'm not saying that they're just trying to get through to the playoffs, but these are the matches where it's like, okay, we know we're going to the playoffs, but we need to just stay healthy and try and tune up. So it's a weird time for a team like Dallas. But in saying that, getting someone like Redick, it's massive for the backcourt. It's massive for 3-point shooting. He's a great, great shooter, and he brings something to the court. He brings that leadership from his time around the league. He may not be a spring chicken, but that doesn't matter. He brings that leadership that he can add to the court. You got Thumpers and Doncic and Porzingis, and with Redick adding that extra presence from the guard position, I think that's great for Dallas. Because you look at the West, and they're hustling. I thought they were going to be a top 14 this season, but right now they're 7th.
Yeah, just barely cracking over 500.
Yeah, if things break the wrong way, they could end up in that play-in tournament that we love and love to see so much. I think Dallas are a much better team than that. I feel like Dallas should be, they should be, okay, Clippers are 3rd as of today. Lakers, who are depleted, are currently 5th. Those are my top 3 or 4. Denver should be up there too. Denver, another team that, you know, you don't know which team are going to show up. Oh, that's ironic. They're also owned by Stan Kroenke. Anyway, next. Dallas are a good team, and will be improved with J.J. Redick. Now, Dallas are very European. Do you watch European basketball, Justin?
I do indeed. I follow Bayern Munich's basketball team.
All right. But yeah, I mean, guys like Luka Doncic, Nikola Jokic, they came from the EuroLeague. I feel like European basketball is disrespected, especially in North America. The style of the game is different, but the quality of the game is just as good. It just gets slept on. Maybe it's a time difference or something. I'm going to give you the soapbox for a few minutes. Tell me why the WNBA should be in Toronto.
The WNBA should be in Toronto because we have a huge fan base. Just look at the Raptors alone. Raptors are Canada's team. You can say it's Toronto's team, but it's not. There were Jurassic Parks everywhere, from Newfoundland, Nova Scotia. I wouldn't be surprised if none of it had one. Just all across East West Coast. And you can even also look at the fact that Canada has 2 other basketball leagues, the CEBL and the NBLC. You can ask about those because I'm a fan of those as well.
We'll get to that.
So we have small town markets that have tier 1 teams that NBA G League players and some actual NBA players play for.
you clearly established that Canada needs a WNBA team. Fine, I get that. Should it be in Toronto or should it be elsewhere? Considering the market of Toronto.
If it went to Vancouver, I wouldn't be surprised. Or Montreal. But I do feel like Toronto would be the best housing market for it. Or at least somewhere in the GTA. Actually, let's say somewhere in the GTA. Let's go with that. So if it was in Hamilton, or if it was stationed out in Hamilton, but called it like the Toronto whatever.
Right.
Toronto's basketball team. Yeah.
Right.
Or like the Toronto Pterodactyls, just if we're sticking with dinosaur themes.
Sure.
If they were to play in Hamilton, I could see that being a huge sellout thing, especially if they had an affiliation with the NBA, as you would, just like the NWHL does. And if it were to play in maybe a smaller town of Toronto, like let's say
Mississauga, what do they call the stadium? The Steelheads Arena?
Paramount. Yeah. They could play there too, but that's where the 905 Raptors play. So everything's already set up anyways.
That's right.
So yeah, you could go there as well, still call them, you know, the 905 or whatever. Call them whatever you want, but represent Toronto out of Mississauga. I think that'd be a great idea. And it would, like I said, it would be supportive. Like Toronto has multiple divisions and multiple tier one basketball teams. Like essentially we have three tier one basketball teams, if you want to talk about it that way. Same thing with other sports too, with hockey, with soccer. At one point we had a kickboxing team called the Toronto Dragons. So
nice.
Right.
Shout out to Remco Pardue.
Shout out to Remco Pardue.
Okay, so from what I'm gathering, Toronto definitely needs a team. So at the moment there's 12 teams in the WNBA. Sounds like Canada can probably have two. So I guess I'm leading you on a little bit here. Toronto gets one and maybe Vancouver gets another. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah, I would definitely want to keep it in Toronto, Vancouver. It's usually the first two places that get something, but Montreal would be very close behind. I think it'd be years until we saw it migrate anywhere out of those three cities.
Sure. No, I get it, because I'm just thinking about it now. The Raptors, no one's going to deny the support base here. They've had a championship recently. The 905 is also a winning franchise in the G League. So the supporter base is there. No one's denying the support of basketball here. But we need to understand, and this is one thing that people in America will use against Vancouver, is the fact that the Grizzlies were there and they were not supported well, which is one of the reasons why they left and went to Memphis. So if Vancouver is pining for basketball, perhaps this could be a way of saying, hey, if you really want a team, we'll give you a rival team to the mighty Seattle Storm. We'll set up a franchise in Vancouver, and we'll go at it that way. And I guess Vancouver might use that as a pitch to try and get the NBA back. Looking at Montreal, I know they've talked about wanting a team there. It might be a little bit harder being in the East, so close to Toronto, but I could see it happening, especially if they want to dump, if they want an NBA team as well. Nevertheless, I think having teams from both leagues is great for the arena. You house them in the arena where the Canadians play their hockey. What's it called? Bell Center or whatever?
Yes.
Yeah, you put them there and, you know, everyone's a winner. Everyone's happy. Yay. Félicitations. Hey, thank you for listening to the show. If you like what you're hearing, why not leave a review over at podchaser.com? Not only will you be helping us out as a show as we continue to grow, but for the month of April, Podchaser will actually donate funds to the Meals on Wheels America as they help to feed people in need during these times. It's a win-win for everyone. Head over to podchaser.com.